Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Freshfields Digital Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us today. I am here with Tim Harkness and Peter Jaffe. Tim, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name's Tim Harkness. I'm a litigator based out of the Freshfields office in New York, who has a particular focus on cyber security and data issues.
Hi, I'm Peter Jaffe. I'm a senior associate litigator based out of Washington. And like Tim, I have been focusing increasingly on cybersecurity and data issues over the past few years.
Thanks, Peter. And I'm Rodri Thomas. I'm a partner in the disputes resolution team here in London, also with a focus on cybersecurity. So today we were going to talk about the role of behaviors in good cyber hygiene and good cyber resilience. Now, over the last few years, there's been a lot of focus on the IT technical aspects of cybersecurity. There's also increasing focus on governance as well. Behaviors are something that perhaps are a little bit overlooked. Tim, Peter, do you have any thoughts on how behaviors can impact good cyber defenses or the response to a cyber incident?
Absolutely. Really a couple points that a lot of clients find surprising. First is more than 50% of cyber incidences arise because somebody within an organization has either made a mistake or has acted intentionally to harm the customers whose data has been taken. What do I mean by that? I mean that the quintessential idea that most people have is hackers trying to break through a firewall. But most of the time, it's people leaving their laptop on a train or falling for a phishing email that tricks them into handing over passwords and that sort of thing that leads to a breach. So I think a lot of times people are surprised by just how easy it is to get into an organization, even when the organization's paid a lot of money for a big fancy firewall. And I think the second big thing that we see a lot is people saying, well, you know, we've had a breach, but don't worry because we know that the data is encrypted. That's in our policy, only to find out that the data really wasn't encrypted because people worked around the policy or ignored the policy altogether. So we're seeing human behavior create risks for our clients in all sorts of contexts.
Yeah, and I would add to that a little bit. One thing that was interesting about what Tim said was, you know, it's not just before an incident that behaviors matter, but sometimes after an incident and recognizing the full scope of things. We've also seen plenty of incidents where there's been, say, a spear phishing attack or some other type of attack, and your compliance folks or your IT folks will realize, yes, there's been a spear phishing attack on one person, but they won't alert the rest of the organization to what is happening. And so we see those attacks multiply very, very quickly without people realizing that there's a broader problem. And we just see them sort of pass up a very good opportunity to stop a problem before it really spreads.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Peter. There was a case recently in the UK courts, which was CMOC against Persons Unknown, and it's become quite a talking point in the UK, and it's received a lot of attention in the legal press because it was the first time that the court granted a worldwide freezing order against Persons Unknown. But I think there are really other interesting aspects of that case around the behaviors of the staff of the company that was hacked that are involved. So just to give you a quick summary, this was a sort of a classic cyber attack in that hackers gained access to the mailbox of a senior manager at a company. And they sent instructions from that senior manager's email, his mailbox, to the finance team of the company, directing them to make payments, ostensibly from the senior manager, but actually from the hacker. Now, in the judgment for that case, the judge noticed some red flags that were present around the hacker's behavior and that potentially, if the staff had been more aware of cyber issues, might have picked up on. So, for example, some of those behaviors were unusual activity on the senior manager's email account. He noticed himself that emails from a particular colleague within the company had gone straight into the recycle bin and not into his inbox. And the reason for this was because the hacker had created a rule in Outlook which diverted all emails from that particular individual straight to the deleted items box. And he did this because he knew that that particular colleague was likely to be someone who would, you know, raise the alarm and say, you know, what's going on here? This is unusual activity. Another issue was when members of the accounts team who'd been instructed to pay money out of the company did query transfers. The hacker intercepted those queries, those email queries, and responded pretending to be the senior manager. And to try and add credibility to that response, the hacker copied in other members of the company to make it look like he was really bringing more people into this. But he deliberately spelt the email addresses of those individuals wrongly. So that was something perhaps people could have spotted when they received those emails. Another thing the hacker did was to sign off on fake emails from the senior manager by putting a full stop at the end of his name, at the end of the email. That was something that the senior manager never did himself. So someone who was beady-eyed may have noticed that too. And then lastly, the reason that was given for paying money out of the company by the senior manager, or by the hacker really, was just a bit unusual. It was to do with an acquisition of one part of the company of another. It didn't really make sense. And if someone had probed it, they might have seen that there was something unusual going on. Now, from my perspective, these things are not really unusual. These aren't novel. They're not things we haven't seen before. I myself have seen them on cases that I worked on 4, 5, 6 years ago. But that in itself is interesting, that we're seeing quite straightforward issues reappear 5 or 6 years after they were, again, pretty common in the cyber world. So to me, that raises a point around education and awareness.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely right. There's very few things in the world that are truly new. And cyber is just a new way, new tool to do old things, and that's stealing. So I think that people often fall back on their behaviors of, in the middle of a crisis, of using email to communicate an organization. And so one thing I do say to clients is pick up the damn phone. Talk to each other. It sounds simple, but we've seen it time and again, and your example exemplifies it, but is in no way unique, where in the middle of an attack, the hacker will be lurking, watching the response in real time. And so often, it's just a good idea to get in the same room, and if you're not in the same place, pick up the phone, talk to each other, and figure out what is going on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're referring to things that we sometimes call CEO or CFO frauds. And these are not situations where you've got multiple transactions happening every minute and it's impractical to pick up the phone. These are transactions where there's usually an assortment of forms that need to be filled out. The emails usually go back and forth for upwards of a week, 2 weeks before money is actually paid out. There's no reason why somebody can't pick up the phone in that time and just verify, hey, you want me to send this at, you know, at this particular time and this amount to this bank. And that will usually solve most of these problems.
Although I will add that when you're picking up the phone, use the existing corporate directory, because we did see recently where someone wanted to have an on-phone verification and the hacker emailed the phone number to call to verify. The person thought they were calling another office in their company of a subsidiary with which they had never dealt before and were using the correct telephone number, and the hacker confirmed on the phone everything was fine and the wire went through. So just use the regular directory, speak to people you know, and get things under control.
Absolutely. Again, not uncommon. I'm actually working on a case at the moment which involved the hacker, same sort of thing, CFO fraud, a hacker sending an email saying, if you've got any concerns about this, just pick up the phone to the IT help desk. Here's the number for your information. That wasn't the IT help desk. That was the number of the hacker. And he responded pretending to be IT. So classic, you know, sophisticated phishing fraud.
Yeah, well, I think that the folks who are attacking companies nowadays, you know, share information, share tools. They try things. If things work, they keep doing them again. I mean, there's a reason why they're doing it. It's because it works. But a lot of the defenses are really not that complicated. They're common sense. And to go to your very original question, they're individual behaviors.
Absolutely, because you know, as good as your processes and policies are, and you can have the best ones, you can have lawyers, you can have cyber experts to come in and design your process and policies, they're only as good as the people who enforce them. And if people ignore them, then there's no point in having them fundamentally.
I think that's right.
Well, thank you all very much for listening. And special thanks to Tim and Peter for joining on this.
My pleasure.
Of course.
If you'd like to find out more information, please do visit our website, freshfields.com/digital, where we have lots of interesting materials on cybersecurity.